So you come to the land of Israel. Kisavei el haaretz, asher Hashem elokecha neisalach, which the Lord God gives you. V'yirishta, you're successful. You inherit the land. And then v'yoshavtaba, you settle in. V'amarta, and you say, asima alai melech, I'll place upon myself a king. Kichol hagoyim, just like all the other nations, asher sivivoisai, who surround our land. So according to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, on Daf Chaf, in the opinion of Rabbi Nehorai is that this pasuk speaks b'gnus anshei Yisrael. It does not compliment the Jewish people, but rather it speaks to the Jewish people in an unflattering context. Because what happened is, the Jewish people did ask for a king, and they did ask inappropriately. They wanted to be like everybody else. When I was living in Israel, some 19 years ago. So there was one ad that drove me crazy. And it was an ad for a telephone. And the ad was, HaTelephone Shel Clinton, B'Bayit HaLevan. This is the telephone that Clinton uses in the White House. Why would that sell a phone in Israel? In America, they couldn't sell a phone that way. But in Israel, they were. So we're very funny people, we Jewish people. We always have this chip on the shoulder. We're always trying to be somebody else. We're always trying to look like somebody else, to get favor in somebody else's eyes. It's a very old problem, an old Jewish issue. We had many kings. We have the King of Kings. You have Hashem. We have Hashem's prophets. Why do we need a king? So the pasuk says this. In fact, speaks. That's what the opinion of Rebbe Nehorai. And this is a nevuah. This is a prophecy, and it's telling us foretelling what will happen in the days of Shaul HaMelech when they came to Shmuel. Was the prophet and leader, and they demanded. Rabbi Yehuda in the Gemara disagrees, and he says, it may not have gone in a good way, and this itself requires elucidation, but it is a mitzvah min ha-Torah. It is a mitzvah. Interestingly, Rabbeinu Avraham ibn Ezra is of the opinion that it's a reshus. It's not a mitzvah that's mandated, a mitzvah that you may choose to do. So, for example, if somebody who wants to eat meat has a mitzvah to perform shechita, and when you do the shechita, you make a bracha, asher kedishanu b'mitzvah sevetzivanu ala shechita. But if you choose not to eat meat, okay, you don't have to do a mitzvah. And if you don't have a roof that's being used, like the roofs we have here in Thornhill, that's okay. You don't have to make there's no mitzvah to go put a parapet, to go put a fence on the roof that's not being used. If you happen to have a roof that's being used, then you have a mitzvah. So he says, if the Jewish people are in a situation where they decide that they want a king, here's the Torah way to do it. But it's not something which is one of the actual mitzvahs. Most of the Rishonim disagree with Ibn Ezra. Ramban, for example, says that this is a mitzvah saseh. It's a mitzvah, it's a positive mitzvah in the Torah that begins after Yerusha, that at that point and onward, we have a mitzvah to go and to elect or choose a king. I don't mean elect in democratic fashion. We can elect to, as we can and should choose to. And the mitzvah is, according to Ramban, that we should come before the Kohenim Halevim, or the Shofet, and Shmuel was a Levi also, and we should say to him, we want to have a king, it's our desire, it's a mitzvah. Rambam also says in Sefer HaMitzvahs that it is a mitzvah. Most of the Moini HaMitzvahs of the opinion that choosing a king, appointing a king, is a mitzvah. The Ur HaChaim, in his very unique way, this is how he illuminates the situation. He says, "Im yivakshu, if they seek a king, l'teferes Yisrael, for the glory of the Jewish people, if it's for the honor, l'chavod, so then it's a mitzvah. However, if they seek a king because they want security, they're not secure in Hashem, so they want to have another form of security, other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is when it becomes a chet and a gnai. This is when it becomes sinful, and it becomes a shame for the Jewish people. Why didn't you trust in Hashem?" So it seems pretty clear that it is a mitzvah. It also seems pretty clear that this is one of those very, very nuanced, sensitive mitzvahs. You have to do it for the right reasons. And if you don't do this mitzvah for the right reason, then the mitzvah becomes the opposite of something positive. Even though you may actually in the end fulfill a mitzvah. But it's not an act of avodas Hashem. Now, why does it say, let's go to the next pasuk. So that's pasuk Yudal. That introduces today's subject, which is the subject of the king. And our question is going to be, should a king be best ordained or anointed? That's the question we're going to deal with today. And interestingly, the Torah is not going to give us the mechanism. It's not going to give us the formula. It's going to tell us what we have to do. It's not going to tell us how, as you'll see. Pasuk Tesvav, verse 15, Soim Tosim Alecha Melech. Now this is redundant. It says the word twice. It could have said Soim Alecha Melech, or it could have said Tosim Alecha Melech. It said it says Soim, and then it says Tosim again. So you should place, surely place for yourself upon a king, Asher Yivcha Hashem Alekecha. Very interestingly, the Pasuk interjects and says, place upon yourself, but it's the king that Hashem has chosen. So you have to do the act of making the king into a royal, into a monarch, but who that individual will be, Hashem chooses. And it will be Mikerev Achecha, from amidst your brothers. Tosim Alecha Melech, you'll place upon yourself a king. Loisucha Loseis Alecha Ish Nachri. You may not put upon yourself a strange person, Ashalei Achichahu. Strange here does not mean that he's a weirdo. Strange here means that he's not of the Jewish people. He's not cut from your cloth. Not your brother. He cannot be the king. Okay, so there's a number of things that we need to understand here. Number one, why does it say the double expression? Why the redundancy? Soim tosim. The Gemara in Ksuba says that melech shemachal akvedei ein kvedei machal. A king who says, it's okay, I don't need to be honored. So then we don't listen to him. The honor is not forgiven. It says, Arav Shamachala Kvedei, Kvedei Machal. A great Torah teacher who says it's okay, it's fine. That's okay, so that we don't have to. He said it's okay. But if it's a melech, then that's not the case. Why? Because it says in the Torah, Soim, first of all, place. And then after you place him again. So in other words, the person was appointed king. Soim, appointed king. Now he says, don't worry, it's okay. Yeah, you don't have to respect me. It's fine. I'm easygoing. So the Torah comes along again and says, toss him. Even if he says, I don't need this honor and glory, I'm fine just to be like everybody else. I'll wait in line in the bakery. We have an obligation to provide him with that honor. So that's the soim toss him. That's what the Gemara says.
The honor is not to the person, it's to the concept of office.
It's true that the honor is not to the person, but when it comes to the Rav, it's also not to the person. The honor is of the Torah, and yet, Rav Shemach LaKvedi Kvedi Mochel. So you see, when there's something unique about a Melech. The Sfasema says something very interesting. He says that Hashem here hints or alludes to a future in which the Jewish people's kingdom will divide. And when Rehavam, the son of Shlomo HaMelech, behaved inappropriately, he caused a mini rebellion, or even a big rebellion. And what happened is that the 10 tribes, as they're called proverbially, or the northern kingdom, Malchus Yisrael, divided, split away. And what happened is they established their own royalty, their own monarchy. So that's the Soim, and that's the Tosim. Because if you look in the scripture, originally the man who became king in Israel, whose name was Yerovam, the son of Nevat, Hashem speaks to him through his prophets. And he says, I will make you a king. It won't be like David HaMelech. It won't be like the eternal house, the royal house of Israel, but I'll make you a king if only you'll follow Hashem's mitzvahs. Mm-hmm. And Yerovam, tragically, did not only violate Hashem's mitzvahs on a personal way, but he turned the Jewish people away from Hashem's mitzvahs. First and foremost, by disabling them from going to Yerushalayim. And then he went ahead and built an idolatrous temple, which is terrible, devastating, catastrophic spiritual consequences.
Two eagles.
Disaster. Now the king has to be, it says, Mikerev Achecha, from amidst your brothers. So the Sifris tells us, Mikerev means not only that he has to be Jewish, but he has to be an Israeli Jew, an Eretz Yisrael Jew. You cannot import a foreign, even a foreign Jew, if he's not indigenous to the land, not born and raised, he can't become your king. Very interesting. The Balaturim says that the gematria of Mikerev Achecha is Mishevet Yehuda. So this is the lasting mitzvah, is that the king should be Mishevet Yehuda. This was, of course, the great tragedy of the Hashmonaim, of the Hasmonean family, who were Maccabees, who fought valiantly and defended our people, and then they violated the basic code of Torah. They couldn't let go of control because power corrupts, and it corrupted them, absolutely. The Rikeach says that Mikerev Achecha is the gematria of David ben Yishai. So, similar. It's not just from Malchus, from the tribe of Yehuda, it actually has to be from Malchus Yehuda. Now it says Leisuchal. Leisuchal. What does it mean, Leisuchal? So the Chizkuni says, doesn't mean you can't. You can do it if you want. It's a free country, as they say. You could do. But Ein Charashoi means it's not appropriate. That's what means Leisuchal. However, the Abar Benel says, you should know that if you make this terrible choice to go against the Torah, if you decide to choose a king who is not from your own, you should know, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not allow it. Leisuchal. You can't. Don't even try. Hashem will cause it to fail. Leyatzlichu bei. They will have no success. Well, how successful was Herod? One generation. And gone. There's no Herodian dynasty. Gone. And everything Herod built is gone. Yerushalayim, and even the remnants of the palace of Yerushalayim is still here. Hebron is here. All the ancient cities are here. Much, much older cities. What happened to Caesarea? Nothing. It collapsed entirely. All his beautiful wharf, his amazing harbor, was the rival of the whole world, the envy of the world at the time. He built the most amazing harbor. He's a great builder. Not only it collapsed, nobody knew where it was. An Israeli airman in the 50s, flying over the area of Caesarea, noticed what seemed to be the outlay of an amphitheater. So he directed archaeologists there, and that's when they found this. Herod's great city, it was like, it eclipsed all the cities of Eretz Yisrael. Now, to be fair, the Jewish people didn't choose Herod. Herod usurped the throne. Herod was a dictator, a brutal dictator. Now it says here clearly that you cannot play same tossim mikedav achecha tossim alecha. And the Torah emphasizes leisucha lases alecha ish nachri ashalayachicha. Very redundant verse. It says you have to place from your brother. You cannot place from a non-Jew, and you can't. Who is not your brother? Why the redundancy? Why the continued emphasis? The Levi Yitzchak Radichever says that a melech is Lev Yisrael. In fact, it says melech is an acronym for melech, for mayach, for the brain, lev, the heart, and kaved. These are the vital organs, heart, mind, and liver. He says, how could you have a goyish heart? How could that be? It has to be mekerev achecha. If melech is lev Yisrael, it's not just a political position. It's a very, very profound position. It's a position that has a lot to do with the essence of the Jewish people. That just wouldn't work. The Medrash Lekach Tev tells us that this emphasis here is even on a person who converts to the Jewish people. He's considered to be 100% Jewish. We have an obligation towards him and responsibilities towards him that eclipse the obligation and responsibility we have towards our natural-born Jews, that you're not allowed to take advantage of him twice as much, and you have to love him twice as much, and you have to be sensitive to him twice as much. That's true. But a melech he can't be. A king he can't be. And Ibn Ezra adds that even though the Edomites are actually called our brothers, the Torah says, on the way in there it's your soul. Go to your brothers. They're brothers because they're from Esau. So he says that would not work for this. And actually that's what Herod was. Herod was an Edomite. So therefore the Torah is for warning and saying, don't try any shtick like that. Don't try to bring me your brothers. He's an Edomite. He's still kind of, that's not Mikerev Achecha. It has to be not Ish Nachri, and it has to be Asher Lo Yachicha. At the end of the day, he's Lo Yachicha. The balance of the Sheni, of the second reading, speaks of the various limitations that are placed upon this king. And the limitations are placed very, very specifically and pointedly so that the king doesn't get corrupted. As that famous adage goes, power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. So the king is told all kinds of different things that he's not allowed to do so that he does not become corrupt. Let's go on now to a fascinating teaching of the Rebbe, which will answer the question we raised in the beginning of the class, ordained or anointed? Page Reish Chav Beis. Simon Gimel in Parsha Shevtim. Yesh Lisho. Here's a question we might ask. Madua in Hakosav Mitzayin b'mefurish. Why does the verse not specifically tell us? Es haderech shabo nasa minu hamelech. The way you become a king. It's a funny pasuk. We get introduced to the concept. We have a number of redundant expressions which are giving us details and micro details of how this mitzvah is performed, if it's a mitzvah. And yet the one thing that's missing, glaringly absent, is how do you do it? Soim tosim. You told him twice to do it. Maybe Hashem should tell us how to do it. I understand. Well, but the Torah tells us everything so specifically here. It even there's not even allusion to how you make the king.
What's tefillin?
Well, here's the thing. You have a good point. What's tefillin? But when it comes to the appointment of another very important Jew, namely the Kohen Gadol, the Torah specifically does tell us how to make him a Kohen Gadol. And that's reasonable. It says that you should anoint him. There's something called Shemen HaMishcha. There's a special oil which is used to anoint. Now, I understand that exactly what that oil is oral. And when you place that oil, and who places that oil, and how you place the oil, and where you place the oil, that's all oral. Okay. But at least the Torah tells me I have to use the oil.
Yeah.
I have to anoint the Kohen Gadol. Why does the Torah not tell me I have to anoint the king? We know that that's the case. That is the halacha. It's totally absent. Not even an allusion. Nothing alludes to it. We have all, like I said, micro details alluded to. But his covet, if he rejects or spurns the honor you want to give him or not, then for heaven's sake, you should tell us how to do this. In order to answer this seemingly egregious question, something is so out of place here, something seems to be so absent here, the Rebbe says, let me ask you another question. HaMelech HaRishon She'isman al Bnei Yisrael, the first king who was appointed for the Jewish people, La'achar Moshe Rabbeinu, after Moses, because Moses came along and he said, hi everybody, I'm your leader. You're our leader. We didn't elect you. Oh, it doesn't matter. Hashem told me to be here. So either you'll listen to me or not, but I'm telling you Hashem sent me. How do we know Hashem sent you? Oh, here's a couple of miracles I have for you. Ooh, yes, miracles. Okay, fine, we'll follow him. On the way up to the Pharaoh's palace, they said, I don't know what this guy's talking about. We're out of here. Everybody slunk away, and Moshe and Aaron come himself. And there's a process. A number of months went by, 9 months of Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership becoming cemented. And by the time the Jewish people left Mitzrayim and then crossed the Reed Sea, after another series of mini rebellions, finally, Vayaminu Bashem Moshe Avde. They really believed in Moshe for about a week. And then they rebelled again. And until the terrible story of Korach, which is mutiny against Moses. Okay, but we're not talking about that now. It's true, a king can always deal with rebellion, and there may always be mutiny, but Moshe Rabbeinu is appointed by Hashem. We don't know the details of how he was appointed. Actually, we do. He was chasing a sheep, and God came in a burning bush. He said, Moshe, Moshe, and that's the rest of history. But who was the first king that was appointed? Who was actually appointed? Yehoshua. Was Yehoshua ben Nun. Kedivrei HaRambam, like the Rambam says in the first chapter of Hilchos Melachim, Ein ma'amidin melech betchila ela al pi bezden shel shivim zekenim v'al pi navi. A melech Yisrael can only be appointed lechatchila, and the way it should be is with a bezden of shivim zekenim, which is what we call the Sanhedrin, the high court of the Jewish people, 70 elders, 70 sages, Val Pinovi, that would be the 71st. But interestingly, a 71st, that's a Navi. Rambam says that'd be a Navi. Ki Yehoshua, Sheminohu Moshe Rabbeinu. Like Yehoshua, who was appointed by Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu is a Navi. And whether the other 70 are not on Nevi'im, we can discuss, but for sure they were a Sanhedrin. So Moshe Rabbeinu had a Sanhedrin, and he was a Navi, and he was appointed. So that's the first, that's our paradigm, that's our example. So, okay, we're going to try to replicate the original event. How did the first king get appointed? The answer was, appointed by Moshe and the Sanhedrin. Now, how in fact did Moshe appoint Yehoshua? Was it appointment by anointment? No, it wasn't Hashem. Hashem told Moshe to do it, but there was an actual ceremony. what happened? Ketzad Muna Yehoshua Latafkidzeh. How was Yehoshua appointed? Al Kach Mesuper Bekosav. And this it says right there in the Pasuk. We already read this. This is in Chumash Bamidbar in Parshas Pinchas. Quote, Vayemir Hashem al Meisha, God spoke to Meisha, Kach Lachos Yehoshua ben Nun, take Yehoshua the son of Nun, Ish Asheruach, by the man who has the spirit in him. V'samachta es yodcha olav. You will lean your hands upon him. Smicha. And then the Torah says, Vayas Meisha, Meisha did, Kasher Tziva Hashem, Isaiah, as God had commanded him. Vayikach Yehoshua, he took Yehoshua, Rashi explains, he took him with words, not physically manhandled him. So he took him with words, Vayismech es yodav. Then he physically did lean his hands on him by Yitzaveyu, and he instructed him. Any mention of anointment? Oil? No oil. No oil? He was not appointed he was appointed by ordination. So, with Yeshua, appointment was not through anointment, but rather through what we call ordination, through smicha. And there's no mention. There's no mention of the Shem and Mishcha. And there was lots of Shem and Mishcha. Moshe Rabbeinu made the Shem and Mishcha. It was used, not here, not for Yehoshua. V'hadavar me'ira t'miya. That actually should pique our curiosity. It should make us really wonder. Madu ala nimshich Yehoshua v'shem and ha'mishcha. Why indeed was he not anointed at the time he was appointed? This is not a new question. The Minchas Chinuch asks this question in his glosses on the Rambam. He says, I'm astonished. Why would the Rambam not mention that he was anointed? Well, because he wasn't. Well, why wasn't he? I don't know. Nobody answered that question. Ha-hezber l'kach. The explanation for this is it's rooted in the Hevdil Yesedi, in the foundational difference between Malchusim Shal Meisha v'Yehoshua, between the royalty, the monarchy, the sovereignty of Meisha and Yehoshua, who were all those things. They were really, really kings. L'machusam shal malchi Yisrael b'deiris haboyim, in sharp contrast to the royalty, sovereignty, and monarchy of future kings in generations to come. Malchusam shal Meisha v'Yehoshua, the sovereignty of Meisha and Yehoshua, le'hoisa tafkidam ha'ikri v'harakazi. Their royalty, their dominion through monarchy, was not their primary function. In fact, nobody says Meisha HaMelech. Nobody calls Yehoshua HaMelech. We call it Meisha Rabbeinu, and we say Yehoshua Ben Nun. That's the names, the appellations they're known by. V'reish u'v'rishayna, the reason is because first and most prominently, Him hayu nisi'ov u'manhigov haruchniyim v'hatoironiyim. They were first and foremost the spiritual leaders of the Jewish people, the Torah leaders of the Jewish people. That was their primary function. Ilu hamalchus, whatever royal element to their mandate or persona or whatever to the institution that they presided over, that was the hanhogas ha'om b'tchum ha'gashmi v'achumri, the leadership of the Jewish people in a political sense, in a material sense, in a literal sense. That was tfeila l'nesiusam haruchnis v'nova menu. That was only secondary to the spiritual leadership. It stemmed from their spiritual leadership, but it was not their primary function. Incidentally, zeu hamatzav haratzi. That's the way it really should be. For a Jewish people, a Torah people, the perfect way in the eyes of the Torah, a matzav shebay hanagusam agashmis, hanagusam haruchnis, or b'nei Yisrael, that the material reality of a Jew and the spiritual reality of a Jew are not mutually exclusive. They're supposed to be one and the same. Einon nifrad dezumizu. They shouldn't be separated. There are so many Jewish people who I know who repeat the mantra of separation of church and state as if it's Torah Misinai, as if there's some kind of signal. But Israel has to be a secular democracy, says who? It's a totally non-Jewish idea. In fact, it's antithetical to Torah. Now, I'm not suggesting that it could happen today. I don't believe it could happen in the present circumstances. But the idea that the government should function according to Torah, everything of the Jewish people should function according to Torah. Forget Israel, forget a government. If you had a company, a collective somewhere, I would think that it should function according to Torah. Why shouldn't it function according to Torah? Whatever could, should. I have a business dispute with somebody. How do I resolve it?
Everything
ideally through a din Torah. That should be our life. Our life, our function is Torah. Ela oise ha'adam ha'ka ha'mechayin, kenasi, this person who is acting as the nasi, and the nasi is a spiritual term, first and foremost. The manig ha'toirani v'haruchni shel b'nei Yisrael, not the political, but the spiritual, the Torah leader of the Jewish people. Mechayin gam kemelech u'manig, he is also the political leader. I say that with great reticence, because politics is an ugly word. Mark Twain once said, you have to change diapers and politicians often and for the same reason. So it's a very bad word and a very bad terminology. I use it tongue-in-cheek. It's about the material guidance of the Jewish people.
The governance.
He's the CEO. The gashmistic anhaga should be secondary to the anhaga ruchnis. It comes from it.
Mashiach
will certainly be like that, because he'll be the perfect king. Interestingly, Mashiach will still be anointed, and that becomes his name even. Interestingly.
Yeah.
But that's not what this is, what was originally about. Later generations, after the time of Meshav Yeshua, he spots Lushnei Tafkidim. At some point, the jobs divided. So the mandates divided. The king was primarily engrossed and involved in material leadership, in technical governance. The spiritual leadership was in the hands of the Sanhedrin. To be sure, Moshe Rabbeinu was the Nasi. I mean, David HaMelech. He was the Nasi of the Sanhedrin. And Shlomo HaMelech. But Rehoboam certainly wasn't. And none of the other kings afterwards were. So weren't the way it should be. That's where things went wrong. And actually, that didn't go well for the Jewish people. And that's the reason Yehoshua alone nimshach b'shem and ha-mishcha. Because Hashem wanted to send a very loud message, a loud message to the Jewish people of what Jewish governance is supposed to look like. Hamishicha b'shemen humini l'malchus. The anointment, via this oil, that's anointment or appointment to royalty. That's about hanhaga gashmis. V'ilu hamini l'hanhaga teironis, to be appointed to a Torah leadership position, hu be'emtzoy smicha. We rely on you. We're counting on you. Moshe leans his hands on Yeshua. That's what smicha is supposed to be. Since the primary function of Yeshua was hanhaga toironis, Yeshua is the Torah leader first and foremost, and most importantly, ve'ilu hamalchus hagashmis, the material leadership, hoisa tfeiloloi, that was only secondary. Therefore, his batzim minuya shel Yeshua, be'emtzoy smicha. How did Yeshua's leadership become established? Smicha. Same way you make a rabbi. That's how you made Yeshua a king. That was the original smicha. Not by using oil, not by creating this anointed situation. So he's appointed through ordination, not through anointment. Now we'll understand the reason. Why the Torah specifically makes a point of avoiding any mention of Mashiach. Doesn't talk about anointment. Why did it talk about it? Isn't that part of being the king? Isn't that basic halacha? We alluded to so many things. Why wouldn't you allude to this? The answer is Shekeinah Matzav Aroi L'chatchila. The ideal situation in the eyes of Torah is kazeh. Shahamelech u'lechol reish, that the king is first and foremost and primarily Manik HaTorani. He's the Torah leader. Torah leader of the Jewish people. U'minuyav shomelech kazeh, the appointment of such a king, Mizbatseya ayidei smicha. That's carried out through smicha, through ordination, v'loy ayidei mashicha b'shemen, and not appointment through anointment. So we have answered the question. Now we know why the Torah doesn't want to talk about it. Because if the Torah talks about it, then the Torah is emphasizing that's the way it should be. But actually, that's not the way it should be. And there are many parallels and examples of this in our modern time in leadership. The truth is that the way the Rebbe arranged it, all of the Bati Chabad, all of the institutions, and there are thousands of them today, it's one and the same. The technical leadership is also in the hands of whoever's the Rav. It's one and the same. It's not two separate things. There isn't a technical, savvy, business, political person who takes care of running the organization. And then there's a rabbi whose job is to teach Torah and answer the shaylos. No, in every Beis Chabad, the shliach is the shliach. He does everything. That's actually the way it should be. This is based on the principle of Torah. In a microcosm, that's the idea, the way the Jewish people should be led. That's in a microcosm how every community is supposed to be led. And otherwise, we always have issues and problems because there's a clashing between spiritual leadership and political leadership and politics and Torah mitzvahs. They're not good bedfellows. They're not one and the same. As the famous, one of the famous Achronim wrote, he says, Das Balabatim, Hepech Das Torah. The opinion of the Balabatim will always be at the polar opposite of the opinion of what the Torah has to say. And Jewish people should be led by Das Torah, should be led by the opinion of Torah, not by Das Balabatim, not the opinion of people who have other considerations in mind. Sure. Eibishter should help us that soon in our day we should finally see Malchus restored to us with the true king, who is Melech HaMashiach, who will be anointed when he's appointed, but he will be the Melech HaTeirani V'Haruchni, who will be primarily a spiritual leader for us, a teacher of Torah for everybody, even Meish Rabbeinu and the Avos. May we merit to see that in our day. B'meheda, B'meinu, Amen.
Amen.